Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. My next guest has a very inspiring message about how you should not let your disability hold you back from doing things you love. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and let's learn more about them. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Marcello Squartino. Welcome to the show, Marcello.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, so why don't we start off with tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, all right. Well, see, my name is Marcello Sortino. I was diagnosed with a condition called Friedreich's ataxia whenever I was 14 years old. I am 28 years old now, but I've been living with the condition for half my life. Whenever I was diagnosed, I was able-bodied. Was walking around, running with friends, and enjoying life. And it was like a, I still am, but my diagnosis started progressing. And so I'm 14, I was walking. By the time I was 18, I was dependent on a wheelchair. And then from there, 18 into now 20 years old, the progression has continued. You know, I have had to learn a lot of different methods of actually succeeding with things. And it's amazing because all these different concepts and perspectives that I've adapted and starting to use, I really find a difference a difference in challenges. It's amazing. And now I have been preaching my words, the things that I have discovered on my journey, and it's inspiring so many. I love that, and I see that this is my purpose. Now, read me personally. I am very faithful in God, and I view my condition not as an adversity or a disadvantage. It's an advantage. I look up and I thank God every day for the gift of my condition. And I think it's how we all have to view our abnormalities, right? It's a gift, a God-given gift. And that is amazing. And even the story itself inspires me to keep going with this, share with others.
Now, let's talk about what things you've discovered in your life. When you started on your journey to help yourself to get better, to inspire others, what were some of the things you've done? And what have you discovered?
Right, and some of the things I've done, instead of accepting defeat, right, then things aren't good enough, and just sitting around and doing it, nothing. I mean, like you're doing right now, right, with your podcast. This is an incredibly great way to share these messages around. Now I've been doing something similar. So I was like, you know what? I'm losing the ability to walk. Things aren't looking up, right? And you know, the odds say that you might be okay for a while, but things are gonna be really tough. instead of accepting them, I decided to rise up and be like, all right, look, I'm not able to walk and things are difficult. It's taking me a lot longer, a lot more time to get things done. So I flipped the script, right? I looked at life from a different angle and decided to venture on the digital space. So I started looking at other successful entrepreneurs online, and I found that path. All right, I want to become an entrepreneur from my computer, right? Not having to walk or really converse too much. It was incredible. I started building different brands and businesses online, and from there, really started sharing my own message. So I mean, really, my advantage in this has been exploring what I can do, right? Exploring what I can do. What I have been doing is a lot of things online.
Now, when you got this diagnosis, how did it affect your life? And how did you take the news?
So I was 14 years old, right? No, I was noticing symptoms prior, which was like shortness of breath in PE or gym class, right? And not being able to really keep up with my peers. I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
I asked you, when you got this diagnosis, how did you take it? And then how did you go about dealing with the news?
Thank you. All right. Yeah. So I was 14 years old. So, you know, remembering it vividly is kind of tough. But I do remember that my parents were, they were heartbroken. But I couldn't help but smile, kind of jump with joy. Finally figured out what was going on. That to me was powerful and motivating. I didn't see it as a burden. I was happy that all the testing that I was going through to figure out what was wrong, mm-hmm, was over. Knew what was happening. That was really good. Like I said, my parents were heartbroken, so it was tough on them. I didn't look at the challenges, right? I didn't look at the bumps in the road to come. I never looked at that, and I still don't. Which is powerful, and it's awesome.
Now, when you found out that you weren't going to be able to walk, that you had to use a wheelchair, how did you look at that as a challenge, and then how did you accomplish that challenge?
Yeah, that was daunting. And, I've always had a pretense in my mind that, you know, we need to be normal. And that's something that we got to let go of. But that's not the case. Oh. It was tough to get used to being in a chair, you know, to accept it. And I will tell you honestly right now, I still have a tough time accepting being in a wheelchair. I mean, it's tough, not only not only again accepting that I'm in the chair, but getting around, you know, a lot of places that are not acceptable. Nowhere near as you'd expect, especially in today's world. Which, I mean, it's just another hurdle that we gotta work on, right? But when it comes to being able and mindful of being in the chair, it's always been a tough thing. Just saying I've gotten rid of it or gotten over it again is a false statement. It's just something I gotta realize and accept on a daily basis. I have gotten better though over the years. I mean, at first, it was very, very difficult to be like, all right, because let's see, through high school, I refused to use a wheelchair. I went to an all boy high school, and I didn't want to be the sore thumb, right? There are no one else in a wheelchair. Was kind of nerve wracking, right? It scared me a little bit. And just that others were not gonna see the benefit of me in the chair, just see the chair or what it is. So I'll take a minute from there. But after high school, I actually went to college in the wheelchair. So I did. I forced myself to get out in public areas, especially where I had fear of using the chair first. You know, I use it every day in college, and that really helped me out. That really helped.
No. You were saying, I'm proud of you, the fact that you said you refuse to use a wheelchair. You were like me when I was in high school. I refused to be that odd person out, to be that person with a disability, because I'm pretty sure we both have that same feeling of we don't want people to look down on us or tease us. We wanted to be regular. I mean, that's the hardest thing is, and what you said is true. A lot of people, when they see somebody either in a wheelchair or with a disability, they tend to back off from us. I feel part of the problem, and tell me if you agree with this, is they're afraid of either what to say or they don't know what to say without offending us.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. You know, I like to say that our difference is a superpower.
Yeah.
So they're afraid not to, and they're afraid of being not what to say, but also they're scared of what we can do.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I mean, I think people look at us and they don't see the other side. They don't see that we are just like everyone else. We just have a disability. It could be a physical one, it could be a mental one. But like the quote goes, we're different, not less. We may have a disability, but it doesn't make us any less of a person. We do everything you can do, but we either may do it slower or differently.
Yep.
Now, how is getting through high school for you?
Getting through high school?
Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was your high school experience like?
Right. It was a little different. So my freshman and sophomore years, you know, I was newly diagnosed going into high school, 14 years old. I finally knew what I had. Well, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't want to know. I didn't look at my condition until a couple of years ago. And it's affects 1 in 50,000 people in the U.S. And they give a timeline of or you know an exit time of mid-30s. And that's just, I mean, none of that is anything I want to ever accept. There's a benefit in not looking at it until later on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is insane.
No.
I don't like how the judging words can be there. But high school was good at first. I was very off kilter. Balance was a very tough thing at first. I couldn't walk a straight line. And you know, all boy high school, you get made fun of a lot, right? Like, oh, here goes the junkhead and stuff like that. Which I was drunk, and yeah, I just couldn't walk a straight line. Let's see. And then quickly things got a turn halfway through sophomore year. I had a grand mal seizure, and it scared me very bad. I remember waking up and I came to a little bit in the ambulance. I really came to at the hospital, and I couldn't move. Really, with my condition, just being a neurological disorder, you know, the violent shaking,
mm-hmm.
it caused all my muscles just to give out. Like, they needed total relaxation. I couldn't move my body. Terrifying. With that, I look at my band and like, you guys, I don't know if I want to do this again. I don't know if I want to go back to school, but because I can only imagine it happening there. Thankfully, I was at home when it happened. And then what we did is we contacted all my teachers in high school, and I got on several calls with them, and they were like, you're a straight-A student. You deserve your rest for the rest of the year. Because it was, we were already three-quarters of the way through the year, the sophomore year. So, I mean, they let me stay home, or they rest things off, and they passed me. Amazing.
That's an amazing school system. That's what school systems should be like today. In public and in private.
Right. You're right. And this school was, it was a beautiful school. I mean, I really should have accepted their opportunities because after the seizure, going into junior year, they said, look, we're not going to make you come into school. Well, what we can do is we can get you a... And then this was before they've gotten better, but it was a camera, a robot that would go around. So you'd be like on a Zoom call. Well, like we're doing right now, but it would roll around and go from class to class. So I would be at school from the comfort of my own room.
Now, you obviously have friends. How did they take the news about everything that happened to you, from the diagnosis to your seizure? Were they supportive?
I've never really been close with friends. So it was really my family. And thankfully, they were all supportive. And they held me up, and they still do today. Because I mean, friends, like in high school, even, I can't give you a name of one person.
No. What inspired you to share your story with the world to let them know, hey, just because somebody's got a disability like myself doesn't mean I'm not going to let it stop myself, that you need to fight for what you believe in.
I'm 28 years old right now, right? And I use Facebook quite a bit. Facebook and Instagram. I'll release little updates while I'm doing it now. My condition is progressing, and the updates we're getting a lot of notoriety and comments from family and friends, or you know, acquaintances. That was empowering. And that really showed me that, look, I have a message that people deserve to hear. People need to hear. Not only talking about myself, but having to relate to other situations, right? Their challenges. And that's what I started doing. And ended up being so powerful that I do it to this day. But instead of only focusing on myself, I really take the time to create a message out of what is going on. And the messages are very relatable, inspiring, and motivating. It really helps people out. Let's see, I did this program you might have heard of, Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi. They had a program called the Knowledge Broker Blueprint. So I went through that course, and one powerful line that I still remember is, your mess is your message. That took me by storm. And in that moment, hearing those words, that phrase, your mess is your message. And I was like, holy cow, that's what I need to do. And I feel like my purpose is share my story, right? Spread the message as far as I can.
And how has it gotten? I mean, what kind of response and recognitions have you gotten for your message?
I haven't totally signed the contract on this yet, but from my messages on Facebook, I got hired to be a keynote speaker. Motivational keynote with 600 plus people. And that will be in July. So the messages they're being heard, and they're getting out there. And it's cool because to spread it further with my online entrepreneurial journey, I have started looking into different ways to really advertise and market myself. Get my messages out there. And I found some neat stuff, and actually I've been building these sales funnels, which is that award behind me. And It was really applying all my messaging, my story to the sales funnels that I've learned. It's incredible. From here, it is working, which right now I am trying to get on other people's stages to gain more following and release my message to a wider audience.
I must say, I am proud of you for getting that message across, for getting that contract to be a keynote speaker. I mean, it's important that people need to realize that no matter what kind of disability, what kind of disease you've got, you keep fighting. You keep inspiring people because, like the message says, your message. Let people know how you're living your life. A lot of people will think, oh, I have this, therefore I'm not able to do anything wrong. Let people know, hey, I have this, and I'm able to do everything I put my mind out to do.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
And then finally, how can people find out more about you and get a hold of you?
Well, let's see. I'm working on finishing my website. And that is my name.com. So MarcelloSortino.com. MarcelloSortino.com. Same thing on Facebook and Instagram. MarcelloSortino. And it's really where I post and share all my inspiring stories daily. It's really cool stuff. I want to tell you right now, Reed.
Take it easy.
Go ahead.
Take it easy. I mean, no rush.
And I've been looking into AI programs quite a bit. Right, AI software. Something that I've really lost the ability to do is draw. I used to love drawing and painting. But my dexterity, my coordination is just a little too off. So I'm going the digital route. And, Microsoft Paint. I enjoyed using Microsoft Paint for a while, but now I've been looking into AI stuff, generating images and animating short clips. It's been incredible. So on my social links, there's a lot of that in there as well. And it's amazing how these are an AI program can really help with the creative workload for people with disabilities, right? And so I try to showcase that on my pages. It was incredible. But other than that, my presentation for the speech, it is called Winning Despite the Odds. So that is a lot of what my recent postings have been. And that's what I'm going with all my time. So again, my website and socials being Facebook and Instagram, Marcello Shortino.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles, and that was Marcello Scortino, and I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Marcello.
Thank you.